Jeff Beal joins us this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. Good. Big meeting cool, yesterday hope, with the right? superintendents. Before we get there, you have a non-homestead issue that you held back from May until this election, August 4th, and critical for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. The state anticipates that everybody, that all non-homestead properties will pay 18 mils. And when we don't have that collected, then the school district gets a short and the state doesn't make that up. So it's vital for us. We did hold that off of the May ballot, though, because it seemed like the wrong time. For us, very disingenuous to our community, knowing how hard everything was during being closed up and what that might look like. But we do need to make certain that we get everybody out to vote coming up in August, because that's operational money. Unlike the bond that was really about construction and that can't be used for operations, this money is specific to operations.
Not an extra tax or anything.
Not on homestead property, no. And quite frankly, we're talking a minimal amount for our non-homestead property. So if you have a homestead property, no, this will have no impact on your local property taxes. But for non-homestead, so we collect 18 mils on non-homestead. And we've done that for, I don't know, ever. Again, the state assumes that we're going to. But what happens is when the property values go up greater than the rate of inflation, then there's a limit to how much that tax can go up. And so what it does is it creates a difference, a gap. And we're at 17.89 mils is, I think, where we currently sit on that non-homestead. Last year was the first year that it really hit us. And it cost the district about $75,000. So it cost, about what a teacher would cost. And so if you think about that, it's important to us that we don't continue to incur those, especially with finances, what they are kind of moving into this coming year.
So it is, especially with what we're all dealing with, that'll be important for your district.
Yeah, without question, it's going to be truly vital for us to be able to not have any shortfalls in our budget. We're already going to be dealing with some budget challenges, as you and I can talk about. But the reality is that we certainly need to make certain that we take care of all of our income and revenue streams. And we're going to ask that for that non-homestead property again that was paying 18 mils. A year and a half ago to pay 18 mils again, and it's about a 0.1 mil increase restoration, if you will. Now, we can never collect more than 18 mils, so that's the limit. It's not like I can go out there and say, hey, we want to collect 20 mils. We can only ever collect 18, so we're just trying to get everybody back to where we've been for the last 20 years and where we need to be, because every time we fall short of that 18 mils, like I said, the state doesn't make up the difference. That money is simply gone.
So the superintendents got their heads together yesterday. Can you give us a little thumbnail of what happened?
The governor released the Return to Learn roadmap, if you will, for us. It gives us the basic require things that have to happen in each stage. So stages, one through three, there's no in-person instruction. Stage four, where we're at, allows for in-person instruction, but there's some safety guidelines that we have to meet. And those are basic requirements. And then it prescribes out, some things that would be recommended or highly recommended. And then, it does the same thing for stage five. So we're looking, quite frankly, all the schools are, how do we reopen in the fall? What does that look like? And how do we provide for social distancing? How do we provide for safety on the bus, in the bathrooms? How do we provide for cleaning? What are some of those standard protocols? And, I think we're all aiming at trying to run a very similar calendar. Again, we went to a common calendar a year ago or several years ago now, but one of the challenges that we may run into might be how do we deal with a case of COVID if you get it in a classroom?
Sure.
Or if a teacher comes down with it in a building, or if you have multiple cases in a building, when do we shut down that building, or when do we shut down the district? Because in all honesty, I've talked about it like rolling blackouts in the South. If you think about power outages or things like that, we could see spikes, and we are anticipating spikes moving through not just the state, but even through our community in the coming year. I think we see that playing out now across the country. And so for us, you know, if we have to shut down a classroom, but the building can continue to operate, we have to be prepared to continue the education, not just for the whole building, but for that classroom. And if we shut down a building, but not the rest of the district, we've got to continue education for that. And if we shut down the district, we've got to be able to continue education. And it's got to, and I said this last spring, you know, the reality is we're going to be teaching the curriculum. We're not going to do the continuity of learning. You know, you're going to get full curriculum. And so we're really looking at what does that look like. And so there's going to be a lot more technology-driven instruction, both in the in-person and potentially online throughout the year as we may look at, you know, for JPS, you know, we run a 100% virtual program, and we've got a large percentage of our people who are opting for that right now. Those slots are filling up, and so I encourage folks out there, if you're interested, you need to let us know. We put out a pretty heavy survey, and we found that about 12% of our student population are looking for virtual only. And I mean, if we're 5,000 kids, that's 500, 600 seats in virtual we're going to need. You know, we run some hybrid blended model where kids come some days and don't come others. And we saw a lot of our families were interested in that, a lion's share of them. And then, you know, some folks, I need my kids in school all the time, every day. And we're looking at how do we pull that off when our classrooms, when we're looking at how do we social distance and provide for safety, when, you know, our classrooms are, you know, 25 to 30 kids in them, and we talk about social distancing, and it might look like you have 15 or 20, and or how do I isolate that class so that I can limit the spread if a case is in the building. So, you know, are we eating lunches in the classroom? You know, or what's sanitizing look like? What's washing look like? So there's so many things on the docket, Greg. I wish I could tell you. We talked about one thing. The thumbnail is we are all working on a plan to return. JPS will have its plan out there. We have to by the 27th of July because the executive order said that we need to take our plan before our Board of Education 7 days before we open, and Hunt is going to open a month from now.
Wow.
So, right. It's like school starts, and there is a lot of work to be done between now and August.
Jeff, does it appear, though, there will be uniformity in the county?
I think that every district will have some common pieces. You know, transportation is going to look like transportation across the county. I mean, the executive order doesn't say you get a choice in wearing masks. Every kid on the bus is wearing a mask. And, you know, so for us, being able to provide safe transportation is going to be vital. And, you know, we bus about 3,500 kids a day. And so how do we do that? And I think you're going to see some of those pieces take shape. We spent probably an hour and a half, 90 minutes with the health department, Jackson County Health Department, yesterday, really digging through and grinding down to some of the details for how do we communicate with families? How do we respond when we see cases come up? And so I think you're going to see some messaging continue to come out about that. Each district's a little different. I would tell you, JPS has been super proactive. I'm so thrilled with our board. You know, they, last April, when we realized what would be coming in the fall, our board purchased 1,000 extra Chromebooks so that we could get to one-to-one. And then in successive months, they purchased, I think, 570 and another 550 iPads. so that we, because we realize the Chromebooks might not be the best devices for our kindergarten, first grade, or second grade. And so we're going to be rolling out a lot of new technology that's been coming in. JPS, you know, with our bond, we purchased new furniture, and most of the classrooms now will be outfitted with furniture designed to allow kids to collaborate, but also designed to allow kids social distance. It's very flexible. And so for us, we think our classrooms are better built today to be able to be prepared for allowing our students back in the classrooms. And then, again, from our board standpoint, they've been very proactive at getting technology to make certain that we're ready to go one-to-one. And not every district out there, and I don't speak ill of any of our districts, but not every district out there has those opportunities or has those advantages. And so will it be uniform from district to district? I think many things will be very similar, but what the capabilities of each district is able to offer, starkly different, you know, given the finances of what were out there, and or if you were proactive. We were told a week before 4th of July that if we wanted a Dell Chromebook, which is kind of the standard we've been using, it would be February before those were to come in. And wow. Of course, I ran back to my office and said, where's our Chromebooks? And they said, they'll be here by the middle of July. I said, confirm it. And they did. You know, those are the pieces that were, you know, we're just very blessed that our board was willing to take those steps early on.
Jeff Beal with us from JPS. It sounds like, Jeff, every student that is on a bus will wear a mask. What about the students in school? Who's wearing a mask? Who is not?
So, K-5 right now are not required to wear masks. 6 through 12 are required to wear masks. This is the stage 4. And again, remember I said that there are some required pieces within the plan. And these are, I mean, this is not optional. These are requirements of law. And I believe me, the minute I just said that, my phone started to explode, because there are lots of folks out there, and we see them in the community, who don't buy into the mask, or who don't want their children to wear masks. And so for folks who don't want to wear masks, you know, we've got programming that we're going to be able to help and offer with. But the law says what the law says. I can't change that, and I don't have obligations to be able to change that. So 6-12 right now, in-person instruction, will be a mask. All of our staff will. And we're looking at different safety protocols for those that are in high-risk areas, those who are, you know, tending to a sick kid, or how do I deal with a kid who is sick at school, and how do we make sure we protect folks that way? You know, again, the amount of different things, the things that we are doing today that we weren't doing a year ago, right? You know, it's every year is a new challenge. But this is it's something I've got a good team about. I think I told you earlier, we met as a county superintendent group yesterday for 3 hours and really kind of worked through a lot of the safety pieces of it. I won't tell you we jammed through all the education pieces of it. But JPS had a 72-person meeting yesterday afternoon for about 3 hours. And those 72 people are working on, how do we do elementary curriculum? What does that look like? How do we do secondary curriculum? How do we handle the facilities piece of it? Professionals and community members and parents and teachers and so on, who are all in this. You know, we came back and we put a workforce together. I mean, JPS again through a task force at making certain that we're ready to open, and what do we look like to be able to provide the very best education for our kids.
Jeff, what do you see for extra curriculars?
Well, it's going to be a task. You know, we were talking about that yesterday as well, as far as fans and how many people we can have. Right now, we're not coded for indoor competition, so we don't have an opportunity for that. I was hoping, I would have preferred that we swap spring sports to this fall and then move our fall sports to the spring. But that's not the case, and so we may have very limited spectators at our events. We're kind of tracking that one down right now. It might be family only. But the other question is what do we do when we get a case? And we see right now, you know, here's here's one that people don't realize is there's 34 active cases of COVID within school-age children around Jackson County. Again, that's not JPS, but around Jackson County right now, there's 34 active cases of 5 to 18-year-olds. Those are pieces that we have to, it's going to come. We have to realize that we're going to have COVID. We're going to have a case of COVID in the building. And again, like I said, does one case in the building shut us down? Does one case, what does it look like when we, what are those decisions or those thresholds that will close us down? And we're really tackling that. How do we keep our staff safe? How do we keep our students safe?
So as of right now, you would, play football, but very limited spectators? How do you read that?
That's my expectation. My anticipation is that we will have fall sports today, and we're allowed to continue for outdoor activities. So, and some of them lend themselves to greater to than others. Girls golf coming up here in the fall. I think that one will be an easy one to be able to manage. In football, we'll see how that one plays out. I know that we see there's a lot of brains out there working on how to get athletics in play, whether it's at the college level or the pro level, and fortunately, we don't have to be the ones to invent the wheel. We can follow and learn from others. But we'll make that determination, and quite frankly, what will happen when and or if we have an athlete come down with a case, what does that mean for the rest of the team, and what does that mean for the game or the season? So right now, yes, but I say that with caution because I don't want anybody to have some disillusion that we can reopen. I got to tell you, we live in a COVID world now. So we're going to have to protect the lives of our kids and those that they live with. I mean, that's the other piece is we send our children to school and or we send them to practice and we want them to be healthy, and they are. And maybe they get a case that has very few or very minor symptoms, but they have the ability then to transmit that case to how many different people who then transmit it to how many different people. And, trying to control where that could go could be very hard.
What about testing, Jeff? Will there be any testing available?
So there is a lot of capacity in Jackson County right now for testing. That was one of the beauties that we heard. And that was one of the things that we were really struggling with early on in Jackson County. But now that my understanding is there's testing capacity. Tests that were taking more than 14 days to get back are now taking 24 to 72 hours. And so we get a very quick turnaround. And JPS has had a couple of cases where we've had to send people out and quarantine an entire department in order to make certain that everybody was healthy and until we got test results back. Test every kid. We're not going to temperature check every kid. Those are going to be the responsibilities or the obligations of parents. If I did temperature checks for 5,000 kids, I wouldn't get to algebra. I wouldn't get to reading. I'd be doing nothing but temperature checks all day. Really, we really need to work well with our parents as partners to, if your kid is showing symptoms or if somebody in your house is showing symptoms or you've been exposed to symptoms, to do your part to keep kids home. And we'll do our part to continue the education when they're there. We are working though. Everybody's going to have a QR code. You walk in the door, kids are going to be able to scan it. Teachers are going to be able to scan it, and there'll be a health questionnaire. The standard CDC kind of check-in procedures, and we do them now. You leave the parking lot, or you leave your car in the parking lot. You put your mask on. You come into the building. You wear your mask. In my office, I can take my mask off, but if I have somebody come in to meet with me, we wear a mask. We're doing it because we're trying to limit the risk and limit the exposure for who we interact with, because I got to go home to my family and they can't be exposed to everybody that I was meeting with today. So that's our challenge right now. And we've been practicing that for several weeks now, and I think JPS will be ready for that when it comes.
Jeff, are you losing any of your veteran teachers that simply don't want to really get back into this?
So always the great question. I haven't heard of anybody who says, no, I'm not coming back. We did have some retirements in the spring. In fairness, we've got a great teaching staff that wanted to be with their kids in the spring, and I think they want to be with their kids now. I think the biggest challenge is for them, how can they get back in and do what they love to do? Our teachers are anxious to work with the kids, and our staff is anxious to be back. But there's some trepidation. There's some nervousness because there's risk involved every time they come to school. How do they take care of themselves? And so, again, those are pieces we're trying to work out for our staff as well. Because again, if you're a teacher and you've got 100 kids at the high school, you've got 100 families that you're interacting with. Now, JPS, we did survey, and many of your listeners potentially took that survey. We had 2,500 responses out of a 5,000 kid district. 2,500 responses is pretty powerful. And again, there's a good population out there, about 10%, who are, I don't want to come back right now. Help me out. Get me online all the time. And I get that. And we've got, you know, about another 10% who are out there who are saying, hey, look, I'm not worried about anything. Don't worry about me. And then I've got, a good 80% in the middle who are a little nervous one way or another, who want to see those safety procedures in place, who want to see social distancing, who want to see, you know, how we take care of our kids and our community. So, and I think it's something we've been really good at. And and again, I would tell you, I got a whole team of 72 people yesterday, warriors, who just came in and said, let's go to war. Let's tackle this challenge. And that's refreshing. It's one of those things that's invigorating when you see how many people are truly working on the challenge. And again, that's something that I don't think anybody else in the entire county's got, as far as that many people showing up to going, here we go, let's go to war.
Boy, I'm glad I don't have your checklist, Jeff.
It's a lot on the table, but this is what I do. I genuinely love, you know this, I love our community. I love being part of Jackson Public Schools, and I am thrilled with what we can do for our students and our families, and that includes our employees. So it's just a special place. We've got so many things going on, and we've got so many opportunities. And for families out there, I've got something no matter where their comfort level is. We're going to be able to handle it. And so if folks have questions, we encourage them to reach out.
Well, keep up the great work, and of course, we'll be in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody will see, social media, our website, Facebook, et cetera. We're going to get some video updates as we get our return to learn plan in place. And then, like I said, our board will officially adopt it on July 27th, because we're going back to school. We're going to hold our calendar as we've always run it in the past. The year might look different, and we need to be prepared to be a lot more flexible, a lot more dynamic, but our community can expect some things coming in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Take care now.
Jeff Beal, Superintendent JPS.